love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 227 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return today to finally discuss an interesting dry race in F1 in 2025. Yes, we said last week this might be make or break for the season. And clearly, Jamie, there is still a bit of hope in these cars.
There is. And whether that's down to Bahrain or down to Pirelli bringing tyres that actually wear out like we said they should, or, I don't know, just the nature of F1 night racing with a few sparks. It was great. I loved it. So we could still be on for an okay season. We shall see. Although, yeah, we'll need a few more races like that. Because if we're back to Suzuka or to Shanghai, then that's not looking good again.
I don't believe either of them are on the calendar for the rest of the year, so we should be okay.
That's good.
in that regard. But I think, yeah, I mean, it was a combination, wasn't it? Like we said, Bahrain obviously normally reliably delivers a good race. I think, yeah, the tyre wear, I would still not necessarily say that just having tyre wear guarantees a better race, but certainly having some tyre wear, it's always going to be a hard balance for them to find. But yeah, I think just a combination of everything and a circuit that the drivers feel a bit more confident on as well is always a useful factor. But I mean, let's just get straight into it then. We've got to rattle on with it today because Jamie has, unfortunately, other places to be, apparently. Not sure what he could possibly want to
do
more. I know. Well, some of us are already working, which is fantastic news. I mean, the real story, obviously, going through free practice, wasn't it, was Red Bull this weekend and look absolutely terrible. But a lot of teams were really struggling with Bahrain. Just kind of that move, you know, 6 weeks later into the season, a bit of sand, a bit of dust, a bit of wind. Everybody kind of seemed a little bit all over the show as we made our way through practice.
Yeah, and obviously we were here pre-season not that long ago. So I think everyone probably was quite confident going into it that it would be fine. And they knew the track quite well. But then nobody was happy at all. And it was very, very temperature limited. Like the tyres, especially the softs, just weren't a happy tyre to be on. And nobody bought enough hards to actually try them out in practice. So they were really like stuck between a rock and a hard place in terms of they all kind of liked the mediums. Nobody really liked the softs. And nobody even tried the hards before race day because they just didn't have enough.
No, exactly. And I think it's that kind of thing, isn't it, that it will immediately create a bit, you know, if you follow the sport closely enough, you know, to kind of be looking at that kind of thing like we both do, that kind of immediately gives you a little bit of, okay, this could be quite interesting then as we get through the rest of the weekend. I mean, let's just dive straight into qualifying then. There were not too many big shocks, I don't think, throughout qualifying. Alex Albon at Q1, that was a bit of a shame for him. Ollie Bearman as well messed up both of his runs in Q1, so he'd line up at the rear of the field. Liam Lawson, Gabriele Bortoletto and Lance Stroll also at Q1, nothing too shocking there. Although Albon was a bit unlucky, wasn't he? Because, of course, in true FIA fashion, halfway through Q3, we found out that Nico Hülkenberg's Q1 lap had been invalidated, so he should have never made it into Q2, and Albon should have, despite the fact Albon had a terrible lap in Q1, so possibly could have started way up the order.
Yeah, realistically, that Williams was good enough for Q3 on a good lap. And the fact that they took... It's so Hülkenberg, isn't it? They took 45 minutes to decide whether his lap was in or out. Turns out it was out. He'd already progressed into Q2, been eliminated from Q2, and then Q3 had began before he was then effectively disqualified from Q1. So, yeah, it was mental how long it took. And, you know, if this one took that long, how much, you know, were there others that were on the borderline that just didn't even notice?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this should be kind of, it's normally automated flagged up, isn't it? I thought nowadays, you know, it's all sensors, things like that. And especially on a circuit like Bahrain, where you think putting sensors in is probably quite easy to do. I mean, yeah.
And realistically,
there's got to be a better solution, hasn't there?
You need it at the exit turn 4.
Yep.
And the exit at the last corner. And is that, yep. That's pretty much it, really, isn't it?
Around here, you're pretty well, maybe the exit turn 10 as well, but normally you can't really find a lot there.
Yeah.
But all the exit turn 2, I suppose, as well.
I guess. But if you go over the curbs, then it's a recipe for disaster, as one Esteban Ocon found out in Q2.
He certainly did, didn't he? Yeah, Ocon immediately. Although it wasn't. Let's be fair, Jamie. It was Nikita Mazepin style, wasn't it? Completely dropped it on the exit of turn 2 into turn 3. The crash looked a lot worse than it actually was, and it does always make me wonder. Has seemed to play Formula 1 on like a 300% damage mod, because it's always their cars that'll have a small accident and look completely destroyed.
Yeah, I think it was it 2022 when Schumacher destroyed 3 chassis in about 6 races.
Yep.
It was crazy. But we've all done it, Esteban. I've done it at least once as far as I can remember on F1 games before. So it's, yeah, that's, but that curve is a bit harsh if you hit it the wrong way and start bottoming out. And that left him in P15 with half a car.
Yeah. Although so P14, it didn't look good. Because obviously Hülkenberg was invalidated.
True. He went, yeah, he got promoted to 14th halfway through Q3. Of course he did.
Yeah, because Formula 1 likes to do things like that.
Exactly.
At Q2, though, Jack Doohan, he was a bit unlucky. Alpine even this weekend looked absolutely rapid, didn't they? And he'd actually gone quicker than Gasly through Q1, if I remember correctly, and then looked to be improving in Q2 before just made a tiny little error on his last run, so he would just end up out behind Tsunoda. Hadjar as well, another great effort by him, you know, comfortably looking quicker than Liam Lawson once more. Obviously, Hülkenberg, which we mentioned, and Fernando Alonso also at Q2 alongside Esteban Ocon. But it did mean, I think, yeah, for the first time this season, both Red Bulls into Q3, despite this probably looking like the worst track so far of the season for them.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to caveat Lawson had DRS problems.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yes.
It wasn't opening or closing or some sort of issue.
It kept closing halfway down the straights, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the sensors and all that kind of electronic stuff just didn't really function that well all weekend, really. So maybe that was part of that same problem. But yeah, Tsunoda looked a lot more comfortable in the car. And to be fair, we said at pre-show that in Suzuka, he was pretty good up until that Q2 exit.
Yeah.
And then the Q2 exit screwed his race completely, obviously. But if he can stay about this close to Max, I think they'll be happy. They just need to sort the car out, basically.
I think it was help, wasn't it? Because it seemed like Max was struggling more than ever as well. So it kind of allowed Yuki to stay a lot closer to him. But of course, yeah, by the time we got into Q3, though, it was, you know, understandably looking like it was going to be a battle between the McLarens. And that was made a whole lot easier because, of course, Lando Norris, Mr. Lewis Hamilton, only needs to beat 2 other cars. He should win every race. Qualified 6th, which, I mean, we don't embrace hate clubs around here, Jamie. You've met Lando Norris. You've always been a fan of Lando Norris.
Have.
But it
have I always been a fan? I'm not sure.
You've always backed Lando. But it is quite funny, isn't it, at the moment? When you kind of look at all the comments he's made in the past and kind of his attitude, just to see him have some bad weekends here and there. I want to see Oscar win this title. I'm going to say it right now.
Yeah, and I said it, well, we said it in our predictions, didn't we? We both put Norris to win the championship and also said, if anyone else can win it, that would be great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Lando as a person. I do think he's quite funny. He's very chilled out. But his attitude when it comes to racing, he's unbelievably arrogant.
Lando Norris is kind of that driver that kind of says what you'd expect someone with 2 or 3 world championships to say. Like, if Alonso said half the stuff he said, you're kind of there going, fair enough. But Lando's not got the credentials to back it up.
Yeah, he's on, what, 5 wins? Is it 5 or 6 wins now?
5, I believe. Yeah, 5. It might be 6.
Yeah, and I just think those kind of comments back in, obviously it's 2020, it's a long time ago now, but when he's like, Hamilton should be winning every race because he's only got to beat his teammate and one other car. That's probably as true now as it was then. Maybe it's slightly less true. And he's, won one out of five races, one out of four GPs this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is quite amusing. And I'm kind of enjoying the whole F1 community uniting around the fact that everyone would rather see Piastri win the championship than Norris.
Piastri's just a great guy, isn't he? And it would Piastri's be Oscar that would take pole.
Impossible to hate, isn't it? He's so chilled
People
out.
People find a way, really but funny. I think it's just because they don't like the fact he replaced Ricciardo still, despite the fact he's miles better.
Yeah. And I really think Norris needs to get his act together because he can... Did you see him in the cooldown room after the race? Spoilers. He just seemed really frustrated with himself. Because he knows
understandably
that if Piastri keeps on doing what he's doing, it's going to be tall order for the rest of the season.
Well, this is what, you know, I kept saying it last year. Oscar Piastri, the only thing he needed to sort out was the way he used those Pirelli tyres, which takes time to learn anyway. But I said last year, if he can work out those Pirellis and McLaren have got a margin, he's going to be a much bigger threat to Lando than I think Lando ever realised he would be. And that's kind of already formulated. Like, don't get me wrong, I think Lando has still got the out-and-out pace, you know, to get the better of Oscar, but I also think the other way around, you know, if Oscar gets into a good rhythm, he's absolutely got the out-and-out pace to beat Lando as well, and that's going to be really, really important as we kind of head through the rest of the year. Shout-outs as well, George Russell, brilliant effort. He would end up P2, but unfortunately both Mercedes would pick up a one-place grid drop from a team error, wasn't it? They sent them back out into the pit lane too early. After Ocon's red flag. So he would actually line up third. So Charles Leclerc would end up P2 in a brilliant lap in that Ferrari car that, again, just didn't quite seem to be there or thereabouts once more this weekend.
Antonelli dropping a stinker, by the way, in ninth.
Hamilton didn't have a good qualifying run, though, exactly. Antonelli would end up, well, Gasly would end up on the grid fourth. Antonelli fifth ahead of Norris. Verstappen in seventh, so not a particularly good time for him. Sainz as well in P8, again showcasing kind of what Albon potentially could have done in that Williams. Hamilton in ninth, like we said, and Yuki Tsunoda rounding out the top 10, then Jamie. And as we got into the race, immediately I thought we were in trouble because everybody pretty much had gone down one avenue and Ferrari had gone down another.
Which, you know, if Red Bull do something different or if McLaren are doing something different, you're like, okay, that might work. I feel like when Ferrari do something different, you're like, oh no, they've got it wrong. They've got it all wrong.
This is no faith.
Yeah, Ferraris both started on the mediums. Most of the rest of the grid was on softs. A few more mediums, but everyone towards the front was all on those soft compound tyres. And it was definitely, the chat was, it's going to be at least a two-stop because those, you know, nobody knows anything about the hards. No, everyone doesn't like the softs. So you want to do as much of the race as possible on the medium tyre. So Ferrari started on them, but the race began. Oscar Piastri got a good start, held the lead. Russell, on his softs, was able to get past Charles Leclerc pretty much straight away. Almost had a go at Piastri in his turn one as well, but it was never really on. He just went for the space, didn't he?
Yeah, and, I don't think he was trying to line up that move.
No. No. Norris, for a moment, looked like he got the first good start of his career, and getting up from sixth to third by turn four on lap one, so that's like a banging start. You know, he's right in the hunt for the win again. Until about halfway around lap one, we realised that he cheated. So that wasn't great for him either.
No, exactly. And again, it's just those little things, isn't it? That you can tell clearly he's got obviously a lot on his mind already this season. But obviously he got the car stopped at the start and then didn't hold the brake, I believe, or didn't hold the clutch in at the right bite point. So the car just started rolling forward, which Max Verstappen, you know, people always like to give George Russell stick that he's the kid that would remind the teacher that there's homework. Max Verstappen immediately came on, and, you know, I'm going to do my best Jeremy Clarkson adenoid voice here. Oh, he started ahead of his grid box. You need to penalise him. Just like he did in Brazil last year.
Yeah. I mean, so you
Max,
would.
Max
you
was straight, oh, exactly. Max was straight on the buzzer. But I just feel like everybody gives George Russell stick for doing it, so I'm going to give Max the same kind of stick.
Fair enough. But to be fair, it was funny hearing Max try and deliver that radio message without laughing.
Yeah, exactly. He knows he still is rent-free in Lando's head. But immediately, though, Jamie, it was proven. I think we saw more overtakes in about the first three laps here than we did in the entirety of the Japanese Grand Prix. We would see quite a few little battles going on. Obviously, Antonelli, Max, and Lewis Hamilton would all get past Sainz pretty quickly. It seemed like Williams this weekend didn't quite have the same pace as they have them in like the opening three or four Grand Prix.
It's also easier to pass, isn't it? And Sainz was a bit out of position because he got a really good start.
Yeah.
But then he was running, I think, fifth or sixth.
I think what it is that Williams this year has got a really good and wide setup window, which works really well in like sprint weekends and stuff. And obviously, but when you come back to a circuit like this that everybody knows pretty well already in this car's kind of,
yeah, I guess so.
Other teams get better. Like, I reckon the Alpine is the opposite of that. It's got a much tighter setup window, but of course they knew what they needed to do this weekend and the car was actually pretty quick.
I think the Williams were probably good enough for points though, but
I think had not but you could say that about pretty much, I think you could say that about every team apart from Sauber this year. Of
maybe
you kind of fall into the right place, you get a bit lucky with strategy, and most teams, I think.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
Can hold each other off.
But then Hulk wasn't a million miles away by the end until he got disqualified. But
apart from that huge disqualification for the illegal car. Yeah, Hulk was pretty close.
Yeah, exactly.
Antonelli then would do a brilliant switchback on Pierre Gasly. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes look at how Nürn Wheel works. Jamie183, what did you say to me before the show?
I said that I'm warming to Kimi Antonelli. I think he's quality. I think he's a brilliant driver.
Finally, he sees the vision.
And fair play, F2 in 2024 was a joke because he finished, what, 8th or 9th or something? And to be fair to him, I thought Melbourne was a bit of a write-off, but then you could say that for all the rookies, really.
He still scored. He got, like, 5th.
Oh, he got 4th, didn't he, in the end?
He
but
got 4th, please.
Was really bad for him. But since then, he's just been on it. And obviously, Russell is a well-established kind of at least a top 6 driver on the grid, realistically.
So far this year, he's arguably been better than that.
Yeah, definitely. And Antonelli is not that far off him, to be honest, in quali and race. And he's putting off some great moves. I was saying, he reminds me of like an F1 esports driver who's just kind of appeared on the grid. Because the kind of lines he takes and the kind of moves that he thinks to make are just really switched on and clever. And it's that youthful exuberance that I think everyone's kind of excited for. And
we
I think all
really,
of our rookies are really good.
We are really living kind of in the sim racing era now, aren't we? Of these guys, you know, use the sim day in, day out to kind of get up to speed. Do you know there's actually an F1 esports driver on the grid this year? Have we talked about this before? No, in F1.
Degalovic. Who?
Isaac Hadjar.
Did he used to do F1 esports? I didn't know that.
He was a league racer and qualified for F1 esports one year.
Really? That's cool.
Genuinely.
Which
true,
year?
True
I might
story.
Have met him.
I don't think he could ever actually go to any of the live events. I think he was too young. I think he qualified, but he couldn't because I think he was only about 13, 14. It must have been one of the really early seasons.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, didn't know
but
that.
But yeah, no, was league racing for many years. A Red Bull, terrible weekend up to this point though, Jamie. Got even worse because apparently they don't understand how traffic lights work, which I was at the girlfriend's house watching this Grand Prix, but I was just laughing constantly. The Red Bull downfall, I am here for it.
It was a shame. It was a big shame for for Max because he was putting
and
on
Yuki,
okay
and Yuki
and
don't,
Yuki and
yeah,
Yuki.
This is the problem with Red
Sonoda
was
running
team.
What 8th or 9th. I forget that Max actually has a teammate at this point. And yeah, Max was running 5th or 6th roughly. Went for a bold strategy onto the hard tire, which turned out not to be good anyway. And then the traffic lights just weren't working, so they just stayed red because they thought they could sense a car coming down the pit lane, and that was obviously some sort of system error. And Max is following the instructions of the lights as he would do as a driver, and just stayed there for what, 6 or 7 seconds?
No, it was only 2 or 3.
Still,
I think
the whole
his first
pit stop
was 4.7.
Yeah. and Tsunoda had the exact same thing, which showed that it was a systematic error within the Red Bull traffic light system. So, yeah. And the second time round, it happened again. And it took less time to tell Max to go through the red light because they kind of saw it coming. But after his second stop had been off those terrible hards, he was legitimately in P20. And yep. That graphic, while quite funny, was also quite sad.
No, it was just funny. It was just funny, I'm afraid. I mean, whilst all this was going on, though, Jamie, we gave Ferrari stick at the start. I don't think they intended to do it, but they accidentally nailed the strategy early on, didn't they? They got absolutely shafted by the safety car. But by doing a double medium stint early on, they looked like, I think, had we not had a safety car, Leclerc could have legitimately been in the fight for the lead.
I was kind of ashamed when the safety car came out because I was excited to see how the Ferrari strategy would work. Because they'd done double medium, which meant extending the first stint and then pitting seven laps later, they have a 10 lap advantage
over everybody else. Yeah.
So that meant that by the end of the second stint, Leclerc and Hamilton were right on it in terms of they were quicker than Russell and Norris. I think Piastri kind of was comfortable out front.
I think he could have kept him at arm's length,
Yeah, but that strategy was really working. And sadly for them, the safety car did come out, which obviously curtailed that stint. And I really would have been interested to see if they went soft or hard at the end had the safety car not come out.
I still think they would have gone hard. I think they would have bottled it. I think the only reason, obviously, when that safety car did came out, because of the Sainz and Tsunoda contact later on that left debris on the circuit, I think that if that hadn't have happened, they would have looked at kind of how little the soft compound tyres could go at the start of the race and probably just would not have gambled it. And they would have just gone on to hards. And to be honest, I think Ferrari were confined to finishing fourth and fifth anyway. I think it's very easy to go, gone to softs, they could have done it, but I just don't see them ever actually doing that had there not been a safety car.
Had there was no safety car, I think they would have gone at least like they would have probably 5 to 10 laps longer.
About lap 40. Well, it's just 5 to 10 laps longer.
I really think that Leclerc would have gone softs and got a podium.
No.
I feel bad for him because the safety
Ferrari didn't even listen to when he wanted to change up the strategy earlier on anyway. They just told him, "You're boxing now. These are the tyres we're putting you on." Despite the fact that the man with the wheel knows what he's doing sometimes.
For all we know, they could have been planning a medium soft anyway. So
I don't think so. I don't think anybody expected the softs to ever be viable in the Grand Prix.
Well, I think everyone was happy with the hards and the likes of Verstappen and a few others who used it early in the race were absolutely awful. So I think everyone then just tried to avoid it.
Yes, yeah. But yeah, safety car would come out sort of just after lap 30. Really odd, wasn't it? Because we very rarely see safety cars that late in Bahrain. Normally you kind of get safety cars early on in a race. But it did, obviously, it meant that Oscar Piastri's advantage at the top had been absolutely slashed. It basically meant that everybody had to go to... Well, actually, we still had quite a lot of variety, didn't we?
We had a few
that had gambled it on softs that were worried they wouldn't get to the end. You'd had a few that had kept a set of mediums there that were looking pretty good. Max had got absolutely shafted in this as well because he just boxed beforehand, which again, we laugh.
And the Williams did as well, to be fair. And the Williams had was probably around 6th or 7th net. And also he had a hole in his side pod because Tsunoda and Sainz crashed to cause a safety car.
Yeah, and obviously Ferrari had gone the other way onto hards alongside a few others that just didn't want to risk it. But of course, you know, the Grand Prix will continue on. And we get another bit of a Lando Norris bottle job, wouldn't we?
Yeah, this was very smart play from Ferrari, specifically Leclerc, I think, because...
I think Lewis Norris did a good actually, job to place the car where Lewis he did as well.
He did do a good job, but Leclerc helped him out, I think. And it was kind of tactical. But he had Norris getting a good restart, actually, right on the back of Leclerc and going for third place. And Leclerc basically pincered him to the very inside of the track to stop him going down the inside of turn one. And that just meant that Hamilton could swing it with all the track in the world down the outside and took, fourth place, wasn't it? And Leclerc was third, Hamilton fourth then. Norris did... overtake Hamilton again into turn four on the restart lap, but went off the track in doing so. So had to give the place back. I think it took him a lap and a half to give it back.
And he also gave it back
in a really bad place. Could get it back into turn four, which is
It was the next lap. It was the next lap.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is what I couldn't understand on the commentary, because they were going, "Oh, he shouldn't have given it back there because now he can't get DRS." And they're going, "But the detection point is before the start of the lap anyway, so he wouldn't have got DRS anyway."
He should have given it back down the back straight at turn 11 or something. and then he would have got DRS.
Yeah, I think either or. It was. I didn't understand why this was such a bad move, because the DRS hadn't been in effect anyway up to that point, and he was going to get back past him anyway.
True, as we were long,
pretty much immediately find out, because the hard tyres still weren't working, and Ferrari kind of just were hanging on in there towards the end of the race. I mean, to be honest, though, there was kind of a lot of battling going on behind, wasn't there, still? But it was, again, that the DRS train started to cause problems towards the end, didn't it? Like, earlier on, I mean, Max and Antonelli spent, a good 10 laps behind Esteban Ocon, because just none of them could do anything. Antonelli then absolutely mugged Max off, which, again, fantastic to see.
I don't think
it felt like the race calmed down right towards the end.
It did, but there was still an awful lot going on. I think you had...
It
was Ocon, wasn't it, in 8th, had a big queue behind him, which Antonelli was stuck in. Verstappen eventually got through that and then started pressuring Gasly.
No, he was already ahead of that because of the safety car didn't pit again.
Yes, so he was... Yeah, so he was
just
ahead of that train.
Following Gasly,
Yeah, it was a really good race. And I think it was hurt a bit by the timing tower having a breakdown.
Again,
but,
yeah.
Yes, George Russell's transponder was doing the best Julian Palmer impression.
How dare you?
That's, do you remember when Palmer's transponder in 2017 just never worked?
I remember Bottas's didn't for like 4 grand. Oh no, it was Julian, wasn't it? Yeah.
Because you would always be stressed that you just
every lap he'd crash, which based on Julian Palmer's F1 career was actually a real possibility.
Yes, exactly. But because Russell wasn't showing in second, they just decided they'd been off the whole tower, which I think was fine, like fair enough decision, because if you're a casual watching, you're like,
what
why
is
there
is going on?
Why is there a silver car in second when he's not on the timing tower?
Very weird.
I thought thoroughly enjoible race. Hulkenberg 13th, by the way. Quality in that Sauber.
Yeah, but sorry, where did he finish? Where was he classified?
Well, he crossed the line 13th, and then
that's not what I asked.
No, DSQ, you know, why not?
His second one in like 6 Grand Prix. It's an incredible track record.
Oh, it is.
Recently.
It wasn't a black flag this time, at least.
No. But absolutely incredible from him. But I mean, Oscar Piastri, though, comfortably out in front by the end. Shout out as well. There was a good battle between Russell and Norris towards the end.
There was also a good battle between Norris and Leclerc. Leclerc was doing really well, holding him off for a while.
Well, let's go back to our quote earlier on. Obviously, Lando Norris, he should win every race. He's only got to beat 2 other cars, his teammate and one of his rivals. Lando Norris this weekend managed to lose to his teammate and one of his only rivals, so we love that. But yeah, Piastri, though, absolutely dominant out front. Max as well. I still haven't actually seen this move, but he got past Gasly on the last lap, didn't he? Fair enough. Oscar took the win ahead of Russell. Didn't get penalised despite accidentally opening the rear wing temporarily.
Did you hear he pressed the radio and his DRS
opened? Yeah, and
it
did it. I'm not convinced I believe that, to be honest, but there we are. Norris in 3rd ahead of both Ferraris, Verstappen ahead of Gasly, Ocon, Tsunoda, and Behrmann from the back of the grid. Score a point as well, Jake.
I think Haas got quite fortunate with the timing of the safety car,
absolutely,
if I'm honest.
But I want to see him finish 5th this year.
But fair play. And I think the Williams were unlucky not to score. Hadjar was quite unlucky, although the V-Carb didn't have as much pace as you'd hope.
All the Red Bull cars struggled.
And Antonelli really should have, he deserved points from that, and the fact he wasn't there was a bit
sad. Absolutely screwed. But we love Antonelli. We rate Antonelli here.
Exactly. I've got a quiz for you.
Okay.
Because this is a mad stat that I was just talking about before. Sorry, the glare on my forehead, which is not the smallest anyway, is absolutely ridiculous. Enjoy that. This was George Russell's first second place, if you get the what I mean, since the Dutch Grand Prix.
Oh, I was gonna say, I thought you were gonna say ever.
No,
that is quite a mad stat. Yeah,
so he's not had a second place in the last 2 seasons.
That's
wild. He's had an awful lot of thirds and a few firsts.
I was gonna say, never the bridesmaid,
never the bridesmaid, exactly. Always the second bridesmaid. or the bride. And because it's been such a long time, I'm just going to ask you, no time limit. If you get one wrong, that's it.
It's over.
You've got to name the point scorers from that race, 2022.
Oh, 2022 Grand Prix. Dutch Grand Prix. I remember 2023 a bit better, because that was when Alpine got a podium, didn't they? But obviously 2023 is not 2022, so that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
I think 2022 was the race that Mercedes could have won with Lewis, but didn't. I know Max won, obviously.
Correct.
So obviously George was P2.
Correct.
Lewis definitely scored.
He did.
But I think he came fourth in the end. Fourth or fifth.
He did. P4.
I'm going to say, obviously... no, because was that the year he had an absolute stinker? No, I think Leclerc scored, surely.
He did. He was third place.
Yeah, thought so. I assume Perez scored.
Correct. Fifth. Yep. You got the top fifth. Five.
Oh, that's all right then. That's good going. I'm going to say both Haas cars didn't. I'm going to say Alonso scored.
Correct.
Oh, no, did he?
Sixth.
Yeah, okay.
You're doing great.
Oh, okay.
In the Alpine back then.
Yeah, of course. I don't know whether Aston Martin had kicked on yet that year. So I don't know whether Seb would have scored. I'm going to say... Oh, no. I keep feeling that every driver finished 11th in that race. So I'm getting really worried. Because that was the race, wasn't it, where Tsunoda broke down that absolutely saved Max.
Yes.
As well, I think.
Yeah. And that's when he could have retired in the pits, but tried on going.
Yeah. I'm going to say Lando Norris scored.
Yeah, he was seventh. You're literally doing this in order.
I'm
this
literally doing this
impressive.
In order. Okay. Sainz?
He was eighth.
Yeah. Ninth and tenth. Ninth and tenth. I'm going to say both Haas didn't score. I'm going to say both Williams didn't score. I've already said Alonso. So my options are Ocon. I feel like Ricciardo might not have scored this weekend. Oh, this was the race before Monza, though, wasn't it? Or two races before Monza. I can't remember.
Was it before?
Yeah, this was because Belgium and I think had already been shifted forward, hadn't it, by this point? I mean, I'm just going to have to take a punt out, aren't I? Oh, could... I don't know. I think Alfa Romeo would already start to fall off by this point. I don't really want to put Bottas or Zhou in. So it doesn't leave me many options. I'm going to say... Wait, was this the race where it was all winners? Like, the entire top 10 was previous race winners?
Well, Lando Norris was
Oh,
it?
Yeah, Lando Norris. So... There you go. That was 2023. You know, I'm going to say Ricciardo, why not?
Incorrect. Ricciardo finished 17th.
Oh, I say, fair enough. I knew you might have had a stinker somewhere.
You mentioned Esteban Ocon. He was 9th.
Oh, that was going to be my second guess, yeah.
10th place, Lance Stroll. I don't think you're going to
guess
that.
Fair enough. I was certainly said before Lance.
There you go. Pretty good,
fair
though.
Enough.
And the fact you got the top 8.
I'll take
order.
That. A classic
pretty
point system. I got all of them, I'm claiming.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that. I mean, we've got to rattle through everything now, haven't we? Incredibly quickly, because Jamie's got to go to work.
Yeah.
Jamie, driver of the day. I'm going to say either Oscar Piastri or George Russell.
I'll go Oscar.
Okay. I'm going to say George then, for sake of interest. Because I think he did really well, despite all the problems with the car. Race rating. What are we going to give it?
It was good. But it wasn't quite Melbourne.
What did we rate Melbourne?
Remember what we put Melbourne. I think 8.5.
You haven't been keeping track of the stats this
been
year, man.
Track.
You're
I'll do
statistician.
It. I'll sort it out.
Good man.
I'll go a 7. It was good.
I'm going to say 7.5. Yeah, exactly. And predictions recap. I think you shafted me again.
I think I did. I don't think I wrote it down.
At context, JB183. No, we did. I'm pretty certain. I remember. I know what they were.
On the channel.
I didn't
both
put it on
Norris
my channel.
Poll.
I put it on the channel, Jamie.
Yeah, the channel. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. I saw that on YouTube.
Good
we
man.
Both put Norris on poll, which was
yes, we did.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. No points there.
I said Piastri would win.
You did. You jammy, jammy man.
How's that jammy? He won the race. That's good knowledge.
Okay.
Let's get. How do I get onto?
Oh, no, I said Hamilton P3, didn't I? Damn it. No, I've got it here. So you said Piastri, Norris, Verstappen. So you bag 3 points?
3 points.
I said Norris, Piastri, Hamilton, so I bag 2.
Okay. So it makes it 14-7.
14-7, man.
You're a long way behind already.
I know, but I've given you a chance. I do this every year.
True.
I give you a chance early on. Thank you all so much, as always, for listening. Apologies that we've kind of had to cut that one a little bit short right towards the end. Jamie and I will be back later on this week to preview Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Let us know your thoughts and feelings on the Bahrain Grand Prix. 67% of you voted it as a good race, so 3 out of 4 of our possible options. And 83% of you predicted that Oscar Piastri was going to take the win. 69% of you apparently predicted that Oscar was going to take pole. I think that poll was manipulated afterwards. Thank you all as always. Get yourself subscribed. And Jamie and I will be back very, very soon.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.